This podcast is presented by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at www.uctv.tv. Enjoy the presentation.
Good evening. I'm Paul Drake, the Dean of Social Sciences here at the University of California, San Diego. In the wake of September 11th, the war in Iraq has become the hottest international issue for the body politic. Earlier this month, we got mixed assessments of the U.S. military's progress in Iraq. Those came from General David Petraeus, the top Army commander in the region, and from Ryan Crocker, the U.S. ambassador to Iraq. We also heard from President Bush, who announced plans to start withdrawing troops by the end of this year. Tonight, we'll examine how this war has affected political attitudes at home and abroad. We'll look at the international community later in the program, but we'll begin with public opinion here in the United States. My first guest is Gary Jacobson, a professor of political science here at UCSD and a specialist in American politics. Welcome, Gary.
Thank you, Paul.
How has Iraq affected political attitudes in the United States?
Well, it's helped to polarize us along party lines to a degree that we've never seen before, at least since we've been polling going back to the 30s and 40s in the U.S. The public's more divided on this war than they've been on any previous similar engagement, such as Korea, Vietnam, the first Gulf War, et cetera. And they're more divided about this president than they've been about any president since we've been measuring these things.
Why is there such a partisan divide over a foreign policy issue, which you might think would be a nonpartisan question?
Well, a very simple answer is that Republicans continue to support the war at high levels because they support President Bush, and Democrats, because they don't like the war, have lost total faith in President Bush. I think the circumstances of the war are the primary reason, although there are antecedent reasons that are pretty important as well. This was a war of choice. It was a war of discretion. It wasn't thrust upon the United States. We chose to go to war, and the official justifications were that Saddam Hussein was hiding weapons of mass destruction, manufacturing them, and that he had some complicity in 9/11. After the war, we found that neither of those things could be confirmed. And people, Democrats in particular, and many independents who had supported the war because of those reasons, ceased to do so. Republicans, on the other hand, were happy to accept, by and large, the new justifications that the administration proffered at the time. And since then, the partisan divide has grown very, very wide.
So independents tend to track the trajectory of Democrats, or they're slightly different?
They're in between, but they're about two-thirds of the way to Democrats. They're on virtually every question having to do with Bush or the war. The independents are about two-thirds of the way toward the Democrats. So, for example, Bush approval now among Democrats is about 7 or 8 points, 10 points. Among independents, it'll be 25. Among Republicans, 70.
What about Bush's recent announcement that he'll start withdrawing troops to get back to the pre-surge level? Will that change public opinion?
I don't think anything really changed with the events of the last month and the reports of the last month, other than to perhaps slow down the slide in public support for the war, especially among Republicans. Democrats have pretty much made up their minds 3 years ago that it had been a mistake and they would be happy to get out of it. Independents, by and large, in the same position, although not so overwhelmingly. Republicans had stuck by Bush for a long time, and it was only within the last 6 months to a year that really you see real erosion among Republicans in support for the war. I think that these events may have stopped that erosion. That is, it may have revived some Republican support, certainly not much among folks who are not Republicans, but that may be all the president needs.
Simply to last out the rest of his term.
Exactly.
I understand. How much of a factor will the war be in the 2008 elections, do you think?
It's hard to imagine it's not going to be a huge factor. The candidates are already very carefully positioning themselves on it. There are risks for both sides. I think the Republicans have the problem, the Republican candidates have the problem, that still 70% of ordinary Republicans support the war, support Bush. They're not going to win the nomination by attacking either one very vigorously. On the other hand, among the general public as a whole, it's not very popular at all. Bush isn't popular at all. So they're going to have to maneuver between what it takes to get the nomination and what it takes to win a general election at a time when the public seems to be soured on the war. Moreover, their fates are very closely tied with what goes on in Iraq, things over which the U.S. doesn't have a whole lot of control right now.
That's true for sure. Are there differences of any significance among the Republican candidates on the war? McCain seems to be out in front more than the others, or is that just my impression?
McCain is kind of, being McCain, he's taken an interesting position. He is by far the most vigorous supporter of the surge and the one most adamant that it's succeeding and will succeed. On the other hand, he's been the most vigorous critic of the conduct of the war prior to the surge, claiming that this is what he wanted to do all along, we never had enough soldiers there, et cetera. So he's both critical of the administration in its conduct of the war, but highly supportive of the war itself and its current policies. The others are supportive of the war, but they're not nearly so critical, so far anyway, of the conduct of the war by the Bush administration.
What about among Democrats? They all seem to be singing more or less the same tune. Are there significant differences?
Their problem aside from differentiating themselves from each other on the war, they're all against it. They all think it was now at various points. They've opposed it, but they all certainly oppose it at this point. Their problem won't come so much during the general election when they can oppose the war as if one of them wins, because the real problem for the next president is going to be, all right, suppose we are where we are in about the same position as we are now a year from now, what do you do? And the Democrats, going back to John Kerry in 2004, haven't come up yet with a very clear statement of just what they would do and why doing what they would do wouldn't have bad consequences.
What about Hillary's vote in favor of the war? Does that harm her at all? She still seems to be the front runner.
No, because I think at the time she voted for the war, a majority of ordinary Democrats, although they forget it, also supported the war. She supported it, I think, on the grounds that most Democrats who supported it was that Saddam Hussein was, in fact, a threat with his weapons of mass destruction. She's learned otherwise. We've learned otherwise. And I think that this doesn't seem to be hurting her at all. Her lead in the polls has been solid for some time now. It seems to get a little stronger over time.
Are there any other foreign policy issues that will affect the election? I'm thinking of some of the saber-rattling about Iran. Is this going to have any impact?
Well, if we do anything about it, it certainly will have an enormous impact. If there's some military action against Iran between now and the election, I think it will become a central focus of every campaign, what position the various candidates will take on that. Right now, there is zero public support for it, even among Republicans. It's the idea of expanding warfare just isn't very attractive to anybody. But there are people agitating within the administration and outside it for some kind of military action against Iran. And you can't say it's impossible.
Gary, you've also published a lot on the U.S. Congress. Just one last question, a little off the presidential path. Are the Democrats and Republicans in Congress also following public opinion polls, or are they taking sort of their own position on the war, do you think?
Well, they always follow public opinion polls. These are people who in the House have to get reelected every 2 years. The Republicans saw what happened to some of their colleagues in 2006 in the House and the Senate. And if you look at the senators who are most nervous about the war right now on the Republican side, they're all people who are in more or less competitive states who are up for reelection in 2008. On the Democrat side, they're under pressure from their constituency to get us out quick. That the Democrats who won the election and the people who campaigned for them and financed their campaigns did so on the expectation that the Democrats took over, they'd end the war. Well, for number one, they can't. And number two, if they did end the war, then they would be responsible for the consequences. And it's not clear that they would want that either.
That's right. So it's a real dilemma for both parties in many ways. Gary, thank you very much. We've learned a lot tonight. Next, we'll look at the United States in the eyes of the world. Welcome back. Now we're going to discuss the impact of the war in Iraq on international public opinion. We have with us two more professors from UCSD. One is David Lake, a professor of political science at UC San Diego. He specializes in international relations and political economy. Also joining us is Hassan Kayali. He is an associate professor of history here at UCSD, and he studies the Middle East. So we'll get both perspectives, sort of the general international picture and more down on the ground in the Middle East itself. Let me begin with a general question. Maybe, David, you might want to start off, but Hassan, jump in if you'd like to. How would you compare the U.S. and international attitudes toward Iraq?
Well, to continue the theme raised by Gary about the polarization of American politics, there's almost a polarization of international opinion about the United States. Almost two different views from looking in the United States and looking out, and from outside the United States looking in. Many areas in which opinion wildly diverges. One is that France is typically rated as the country that has the most positive influence on international affairs in virtually every country for which we have data, whereas the United States is seen as the country which has the biggest negative influence over world affairs. Except in the United States, where, of course, France is a country that is seen as being uncooperative and a difficult ally.
So a mirror image from the international. Exactly.
Does this vary by parts of the world? Are there parts of the planet that are more favorable toward the United States and others that are more negative over the Iraq issue?
Well, certainly in the Middle East, there has been greater skepticism and distrust of the United States for a very long time. So there's been much less movement in the public opinion in the Middle East towards the United States. Okay. It didn't change as dramatically after the Iraq war, although it has become more unfavorable, more skeptical, less trusting of the United States. The biggest changes have actually occurred in Europe, where before the Iraq war, there were fairly positive assessments of the United States and world affairs, and now increasing skepticism and distrust, and a much more negative overall evaluation of the U.S. role in the world.
If you look at the Pew opinion surveys, it seems opinion in favor of the United States is quite visible in Africa. Not many African countries have been part of this survey, but if I remember correctly, more Kenyans have a favorable opinion of the United States than Americans, according to these polls.
And does opinion, I think that's correct. What surprised me, I saw some of the same polling data, was that the United States was viewed more favorably in Africa than in Latin America, which we look at as sort of our traditional friends and backyard and allies and so on an issue that's really far removed from either Africa or Latin America. And so going back to David's point about attitudes in the Middle East, in which you have a lot of expertise, do those attitudes vary within the Middle East, or is it pretty uniformly negative towards it?
Well, variance is very, very important in the Middle East. I think that is what would characterize the public opinion. It's not so much polarization. We don't see the polarization that much. But even within countries, there are different attitudes. And they're pretty stable. They change very, very little over time. If you go to Jordan or Syria, they have sort of different reasons for being against the war. You know, they're first of all, they're neighbors of Iraq, and all the problems Iraq is undergoing could easily be exported. But also, there's a huge refugee problem now that these two countries are experiencing. In the north, Turkey has another set of issues, and that have to do with the Kurds. Iran is desperately trying to enhance its influence in Iraq, and is obviously fanning anti-American sentiment. Even in Saudi Arabia, you would see different kinds of opinion. I mean, you know, deep at heart, the ruling family probably is in favor of the American intervention. But at the same time, a lot of Saudis leave their country and go to Iraq to participate in the war, in the insurgency against the United States.
Well, one Saudi who's been very negative toward the United States is named Osama bin Laden, right? Does he have support in the Middle East at all?
There is a mystique. There is an aura. A lot of Middle Easterners would actually proudly say that they have a high opinion of Osama bin Laden.
one of the startling patterns is favorability ratings towards Osama bin Laden and President Bush.
Yeah.
In Pakistan, roughly 65% of the respondents rate Osama bin Laden favorably, 7% rate President Bush favorably.
In Pakistan, which we're counting on as our major ally to help in that region of the world.
That's correct. Okay. And you find similar patterns in Jordan and Morocco, for which we have polling data. So within the Middle East, of course, again, there'll be difference within every country, but nonetheless, you do find fairly broad-based support, at least a majority support, for bin Laden.
Let me ask both of you, because you mentioned the Saudis might be secretly pleased that the United States is, or at least the Saudi leadership might be secretly pleased the United States is in Iraq. Aren't any countries in the Middle East, Muslim groups, Arabs, etc., worried that if the United States leaves Iraq, there'll be more refugees leaving the country, more civil war, more turbulence, instability in the region, even if they don't say that publicly? Are some of them worried about that?
Yes, is the short answer. It's a very tense and ambiguous situation for most of these countries. On the one hand, there's broad attitudes that the United States is making the conflict worse, that its role in the region is to escalate the violence. And at the same time, they're afraid that we're going to leave, right? And that Iraq will become very much worse once the United States withdraws and the Sunnis and the Shiites break down into a full-scale civil war.
So maybe it's a dilemma for them as well as us.
That's
way.
Right. Yeah.
But Hassan, will you?
Well, having an unfavorable opinion of the United States is not the same thing as wanting the United States to cut and run. So if you look at the beginning of the crisis, in 2003, there was almost unanimous opposition to the war, to the U.S. invasion. Of course, now opinion changes, both within Iraq. I mean, there are those elements who would want the United States to stay, and also in the neighboring countries. So I think, you know, these two issues are actually separate, whether you want the United States to leave or you know, what your opinion of the United States in general is. We also have to keep in mind, you know, the Middle Easterners are not very much into this business of opinion polls. They're not quite used to it. For instance, if you look at, you know, the poll results in Morocco, well, the American approval rating is very, very low. But then you also notice that about 40% of Moroccans didn't say anything. It's either favorable or unfavorable. So we always have to keep in mind that you know, these Western you know, political traditions that you know, we're comfortable with may not necessarily apply to the Middle East. So I wouldn't really pay that much attention to. You know, to these polls, we don't even know what sorts of questions are asked, you know, what sorts of translations are made. I think the best way of appraising the opinion is to follow the press. And as far as I'm concerned, there is as far as I can see, there's a negative attitude towards the United States pretty much in the main press of all the countries in the Middle East.
Let me push you both a little farther on this question of attitudes. Clearly, there's a big difference in general attitudes toward the war in foreign countries versus the United States. And probably that gap has grown over time. Is there also a difference in how people in other countries think about the causes of the war, the goals of the war? In other words, how they interpret the war? Do they see it in a different way than we do?
One of the amazing facts that come out from the public opinion polling is views on whether or not President Bush and Prime Minister Blair of Britain were misinformed or lying in the run-up to the war and in their positions on weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And the only two countries from which we have data that majority say that the leaders were misinformed are the United States and Britain. In every other country, majority opinion is that they were intentionally misleading the world about the presence of weapons in Iraq. In terms of the conduct of the war, opinion has become more unfavorable over time, not only about the war, but as the war drags on. And many people see the U.S. In Iraq and in the broader war on terror as pursuing goals such as access to oil, support for Israel, domination of the world, which sound sort of bizarre to American ears, if you will, right? That when we look out on the world, we see ourselves as sort of responding to terrorism and securing the country, whereas in other states, they're looking at the United States and reading our intentions and motivations in very different ways than we ourselves do.
Hassan, do you see some differences too?
Definitely true in the Middle East as well. And, you know, a lot of Middle Easterners see a disconnect in what they think the values, the interests of the United States are, and in what the rhetoric of the United States is, and what is actually being implemented on the ground. And I think, in fact, this is one of the most unfortunate consequences of the war. Again, if you go to these polls, one of the questions asked is, the opinion of the respondents of on American ideas of democracy. Now, in a country like Turkey, which is perhaps the most democratic of at least the Muslim countries in the region, only 9% had a favorable opinion of American ideas of democracy. The people in the Turkish people don't see the United States actually implementing the sorts of ideals, the sorts of goals that that it is preaching. I mean, this became a huge issue at the beginning of the war in Turkey when the United States wanted to station troops in Turkey, and the public opinion was against it. And ultimately, the government yielded to the public opinion. And, you know, Wolfowitz went to Turkey and lectured the politicians. And when he failed to get any results, he said something to the effect that he was expecting the Turkish army to play more of a leadership role in this, meaning, I mean, in democratic countries, armies don't play a leadership role. The politicians play the leadership role, and the armies follow. So the suggestion was that he was expecting the army to carry out a coup by memorandum, a coup of whatever sort. And this really did not go through very well in Turkey at all, at a time when, you know, the United States was preparing for war with the rhetoric of freedom and, you know, liberating the Iraqis, bringing democracy. So I think that kind of disconnect is very unfortunate but very prevalent.
Let me ask two more quick questions. Do you think Bush's recent announcement of a reduction in troops back to pre-surge levels will improve the opinion of the United States overseas?
Oh, I don't know about Europe, but in the Middle East, it's a non-event. In the Middle East, it's a non-event. All these theatrics that we witnessed really haven't made much of an impression on the Middle Easterners at all in the last couple of weeks, except sort of a growing conviction that, you know, the United States, particularly the Bush administration, is really ready to pass the blame on to someone else, you know, to the first to the army and then to the Iraqis. So that is, from what I can gauge, that is really the message that the Middle Easterners took from these Senate hearings, et cetera.
Well, you've given a good lead up to my next question, but first let me see if David wants to comment on
that. Well, just on the response to the reduction, foreign opinion already turned against the war quite a while ago, by 2004, 2005. recall with the reduction in troops, we're just going back to where we were in January. We're going down from about 160,000 to 130,000 troops, which is where we were before the surge began. That's not going to change opinion in a more positive direction.
And what about if we elect a Democratic president who vows to wind down the war? Will that improve international opinion in the United States? What do you think, Hassan?
If the Democratic president, reads the Iraq Study Group report and takes the main recommendation of that group to the effect that the United States should engage in diplomacy, in negotiation, and talking to all the neighboring countries as well as European countries, and should lead a major international effort towards bringing a solution to the Iraqi crisis.
So it would take a lot more than just an election. David?
Well, just very briefly, a lot depends on exactly what the new president, next president, tries to implement in terms of policy. But nonetheless, there has been a wholesale shift in foreign opinion about the United States. It used to be that foreigners would distinguish between American values and American policy. Where they might admire American values, they were often against American policy. That gap has now narrowed. Much more skepticism about American values in general, which is going to be much harder for a new president to turn around. But I don't want to cut this conversation short, Paul, but nonetheless, I understand you have some news that you'd like to share with us.
Well, yes, it was announced at UCSD today that I'm going to become the next Senior Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs. The previous one was Marcia Chandler, and Marjorie Casario has been filling in, so I'm very excited about that. It's an honor, a challenge, and an opportunity. I'm looking forward to it. But I just want to let people know how this came about. My predecessor here, Michael Bernstein, who used to host this show, found out that hosting the Body Politic is a very good way to become a vice chancellor at a university, because he was plucked out of here and taken to Tulane to be vice chancellor. So I agreed to follow him with the hope that I would become vice chancellor at UCSD, and it worked with one show. So I'm very delighted. So I just want to tell the people out there, if any of you would like to be a university vice chancellor, you should host this show. Meanwhile, I want to thank David Lake for a softball question. I want to thank both David Lake and Hassan Kayali for joining us tonight. I'm Paul Drake. Good night.
You've been listening to a podcast from University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at www.uctv.tv. Thank you for listening.